Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when this thought hits you. Okay, I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, the whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only 6 numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these 6 numbers, 785-833. The single most unifying position held by Americans is appreciation for those who protect our freedom and our families. You can help honor fallen or disabled U.S. service members and first responders by donating to Folds of Honor. They award scholarships to make sure the educational dreams of their sons and daughters and spouses live on. They have a 4 out of 4-star ranking on Charity Navigator, so you can give with confidence at foldsofhonor.org. Welcome to the B-Team Town Hall. We've done a couple of these, and we've done decided to put it over here on the Bobby Bones Show feed. So we've invited 5 listeners from the B-Team Facebook page, which is the greatest place on the internet. So many great things have happened over there, and it's basically the only reason I go to Facebook. But each person is on, and I'm going to meet each of them, and I'll get a couple questions in, and you're asking a question for your own curiosities, or if you think other people wonder the same thing, have at it. Anything you want to know, no rules. Except I probably can't get Luke Bryan to play your cousin's wedding. Like, that's the rule there. All right, let's kick it off with our first B-teamer. This is Emily Morrison in Houston, Texas. Emily, say hello.
Hello, how are you?
There she is. Emily, how's it going?
Pretty good. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate that. So what would you normally be doing at, it's like 4:19 p.m. Like, it seems like most people would be in the middle of a work day. For you, are you in the middle of a work day?
Yeah, totally.
And what should you be doing right now instead of on this?
Well, working. I'm in real estate, so, you know, closing transactions and moving things along.
How accurate are the TV shows where they sell houses and, you know, do deals?
Well, I'm not a realtor.
Oh.
I work on the title side of things, so.
So when I go and buy a house and sit in that fancy office that smells a little too like a candle, is that where you are? You're sitting in that office making sure I sign all the papers?
Kind of. I'm a contractor for the government, so my job's a little different. Work for the marshals, so.
Sounds like you're a spy. Sounds like you kill people. I'm a contractor for the government. I do. Don't ask any questions. Okay, Emily, well, what would you like to know?
Some people might think this is a silly question, but I always wonder every time you say this. So when someone calls, they're like, they say like, oh, I'm from Oklahoma City. And you're like, oh, cool. You listen on the Twister. Do you have every station memorized?
Mostly. Yeah. I mean, it's because I cut station liners and, you know, before the show goes on, I'll get packets of okay, here's the Twister in Oklahoma City. Here's the Twister in Tulsa. Here's the Bull in Seattle. You know, and there are also a lot of Bulls, you know, but I do, you know, we have corn country now, and that's, you know, you're a Bull, you're a, what else would there be? There's a lot of
the Wolf,
the Bull, the Wolf, the Twister. There's a lot of letters. Like Case is actually KSE, which is the letters for the Texas station. So yes, the answer is I know pretty much all of them. I don't remember a lot of things, but radio stations I do. Well, and we're not in Houston on the radio, but you know what's crazy is 3 years ago I would have said that and been like, oh man, sucks we're not on there. You can listen to us any way you want. You can still listen on your phone, which is most people are just listening any way possible anymore, you know? Do you listen to us live or on podcast?
podcast. I'm almost always a day behind, but I'm from Oklahoma, so I found you guys there when you guys were syndicated in Oklahoma City. So,
well, great. Mm-hmm. Well, would you like to ask a second question? Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Okay, my other question is, who would you say is like the most underrated country artist who hasn't gotten a break that you think deserves more attention?
It's a good question. And obviously, I preface this by going, you know, anytime I go, hey, here's somebody who's underrated, I get 10,000 comments, about 10,000 people whose cousin is, you know, playing at a Shoney's. Like, oh, you're stupid. Frank's better. But for me, like people that I've seen that I go, man, how are they not a big star? One of them is probably Brandon Ray, because he's so good. He sings he's the best singer, and he's like an A-plus guitar player. Brandon Ray is one. I think Jillian Jacklin is really good, and she, you know, hasn't exploded in the way that I thought she may have. As far as like artists who are, you know, that have hits, because there's kind of a level of artists too that have hits and aren't ever put on award shows, which is kind of a weird thing to say. You know, they have 6, 7, 8 hits. You know, there's like the Cole Swindells of the world, who the guy just makes hit after hit, but everybody just kind of passes over him because, you know, he didn't have a lot of tattoos, or he's not out, you know, dancing in a flame. You know, he's not. So Cole is one of those. I mean, I think Brett Eldridge is also really one of the best. And he kind of gets passed over a little bit too. So I would say on different levels, those are the, and those last two guys aren't underrated, but I feel like they aren't given the respect that they've deserved through massive radio success, really good touring success. But Brandon Ray is fantastic, and so is Jillian Jacklin. So that's a really good question. That's like two, I like that. One about the show, one about music. And I could be wrong on all of that too, is the thing. All right. Thank you, Emily. Let's see. If we don't run out of, time,
thank
we
you.
May come back to you. Don't leave. Let's see. Next up is Emma Lee Lutz in Graham, Texas, which is south of Wichita Falls. Is that right, Emma Lutz?
Yes.
Is it Emma Lutz or Emma Lee? What is it here?
Well, I have so many names. It's Emma. The last name is actually Lutz.
No, Lutz. So I was wrong again. So I couldn't be more wrong. Okay, and how is Wichita Falls, south of Wichita Falls right now? Are there cicadas coming to kill you all like they are us?
No, I haven't. The mosquitoes are so bad and so big. They're like pterodactyls. It's awful.
Well, what would you like to ask? I'm happy to be here for you.
Okay, so if you weren't on the radio and you never made it in the radio, what do you think that you would be doing now? If you weren't famous.
Well, first I got to say, I still don't consider myself famous. That's a weird thing. I don't know. I always thought that even before, first of all, I'm lucky enough to have always known what I wanted to do, right? I mean, since I was in kindergarten, they were like, what do you want to be? Well, I want to be on the radio and on TV and a comedian. And I've done that, right? So it's hard for me to go, well, if I wasn't, but I would think I would be creating something, probably like advertising, like, you know, not selling because I suck at selling, but like creating campaigns, advertising campaigns, something like that. If it were completely non-creative, oof, like a bodybuilder, probably.
Maybe.
I mean, that's just such a tough one because I only have ever seen myself do one thing. So I'd go that, let's see, I would go like creative, like campaign guy, and then I would maybe go, because I can't be a writer, because I do that. I mean, I'd probably work at the mill in Mountain Pine, honestly. You know, we had a sawmill, and that's where everybody went to work. So that's where my stepdad worked. I'd probably just done that and, you know, lived in Mountain Pine and had a family and been super happy. So, yeah, that's what I would say. What is your second question?
Okay, second question. If you could ask anyone one question, who would it be and what would you ask?
Well, I think, and you can talk this out with me, Mike, I think I would want to know something that people are dying to know.
Okay.
It wouldn't be selfish, like something that only I want to know, but like what's a crime that we could talk to somebody that's still alive and they know the answer, or like a conspiracy. Like, you know, maybe you go to Trump or Obama and go, hey, you have to tell me what you know about aliens. Like, I'm sure you know some crap and you can't tell us. Like, I would go at that instead of, you know, go to Garth Brooks and be like, what would you, when you wrote, you know, River, you know, what were you thinking? It'd probably be something like that. Like, who probably knows some conspiracy crap that, and if they have to answer it correctly too.
Yeah.
Like, they have to tell the truth. But aliens interest me.
The moon landing.
Yeah, I just think that was real. I don't really think they're keeping anything from us about the moon. So I don't think I would go with that. Like, what else? Who would somebody know about the JFK assassination that's still alive today? You know, I think we kind of aged out of that a little bit.
Yeah.
To where most of those folks are dead now that would know.
Somebody has to know.
Yeah. Did you ever watch, yeah, you watched it, the second season of
Umbrella Academy?
Umbrella Academy, where they go.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Probably that. And maybe that's not my answer, but I would want to know something that everybody wants to know. Like, Tom Brady, did you really, you know, make those footballs deflate on purpose? You know, something that America would go, thank God we finally got the answer to that. All right. Thank you for that. Let's see here. If my voice is shot right now, it's because I've been doing like 3 hours of press for Breaking Bobby Bones, which is out May 31st. I've been doing interviews with folks for, and it's what's weird about those interviews is that it's honestly the same question over and over again. So I'll just go down and I'll do Zooms with people and they'll go like, all right, so-and-so, here they are from, I'll just give an example, People Magazine. And they're like, hey, so tell me about this episode over the Grand Canyon. And I'm like, well, and then tell me about, you know, why you created the show. And I go, well, and like, what did you learn from it? And I go, well, and then you finish and you go to the next one. And the first question is, tell me, it's the same like series of questions for the most part. And you start in your head to go, oh my God, am I repeating myself? Have I answered that question already in this? And so there's got to be an interview out there somewhere where I've answered the same question three times and not realized that that's what I've been doing.
You change it up at all or just go the same?
You kind of just get in a rhythm and you start to get tired. After about 90 minutes, I just get tired. And not in the way of throwing it back. Stepdad worked at a sawmill. Not that kind of tired, but mentally, you're just like, I don't know if I can, I'm just doing the same thing over and over again. I'm starting to wear down. And in the middle sometimes of a sentence, I won't remember how I started the sentence and I don't know where I'm going. And I'm like, yeah, so, you know, I really hope people feel good about it. That's kind of how I end anything where I'm confused. I'm like, I just hope people feel good about it. So that's what I've been, if my voice is a little burnt out, that's why. Let's go to Alicia Marie in Princeton, Massachusetts. Alicia Marie, where are you?
Hi.
Say hi, Alicia Marie.
I'm
are
right
you
here.
In a B-team shirt?
I am.
Hey, thank
it's
you very much.
Day, so.
Thank you. It's really good, really good to meet you. So what is Princeton, Massachusetts? Where is that? What's that by?
So we're like an hour west from Boston. So like when you were at Northampton, we're like an hour away. So that's more west. So we're like an hour from that. So we're kind of in the middle.
Got it. And you listen on what station?
101.7 The Bull.
See, it's a bull.
I would. But mostly on.
Yeah.
If you, is that what it is?
Yeah. If you would have just asked, I'd have been like, that's the bull, obviously. Or I would have just made it up on the air. Like going back to Emily's question, I'd have been like, yeah, no, that's country 102. Because that's another thing you can do is you can just go, yeah, country 107. And they're like, no, it's the bull. You're like, no, but it's a country station. So I call it country 107. Like, yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. Alicia, what would you like to ask?
So my first question is about the show. So whenever I'm trying to get friends or, you know, trying to be, oh, listen to this radio station, this show that I love to hear, I always will like find a podcast with Lunchbox and Guess the Weight because it's just so funny. So I'm wondering, is that like gone or do you think we might see that?
No, I think it'll come back. I mean, the big bits that we do on our show are pretty cyclical, meaning they'll be around for a few months and then sometimes we don't get back to it for a year or 2 years if it starts to burn. Or honestly, selfishly, sometimes I just get bored and I'm just like, you know what? Yeah. Let's give everybody a break. But no, that'll happen again. Also, some people are starting to get upset at that segment. And when people start to get like really irritated at something, if I can feel like some unneeded drama coming and I'm pretty bored, I just go, you know what? I'm just going to shelve it for now and we'll get back to it later because I'd rather not have there be a news story about it than we have to shelve it forever. That bit started off as a bit because I would see circus people on TV going, if I can't guess your weight, I'll eat my hat. And we all were doing it. And Lunchbox was really good at it because it started as a bit as we all were guessing people's weights. And this is, you know, 15 years ago. And he would almost never miss. We were like, what is happening here? And so that became a bit in itself. But you guys know how folks are. They get upset about everything. And once we start to kind of get, you know, punched in the gut 4 or 5 times in a row, I go, you know what? I'm going to get out of this fight for a second. We'll come back to it. But that's it. That segment will be back for sure.
Okay, great. Yeah, because it's a fun one.
Thank you.
And then I have another question for you. I know you love The Office, and I do too. And I was wondering, what is your most favorite episode of The Office and why?
Well, I got two. I do love the episode where Michael Scott burns his foot on the George Foreman grill, and, you know, Dwight wrecks the car going to get him, and he has a concussion. And so that... And then I love Scott's Tots because everybody hates it so much. It is so cringy. Any yeah. show that can make you feel... But then there are also certain parts of episodes like Jim and Pam's wedding. It doesn't matter how many times they come down the aisle to Chris Brown's Forever. I mean, like, you know, and they secretly go and get married on the boat. And when Michael leaves at the airport, when Pam goes through and, you know, that he takes his mic off. And, you know, those... episodes are really great, but if I had to pick, I would go Foreman Grill and Scott's Tots. And also, let me say, who is the little squirt behind you there?
Oh, this is Bradley. He loves to listen to you too. He wanted to say hi.
Hey, Bradley, you like the band U2? Why do you like U2, the band? Why do you like Bono so much? I'm just kidding, buddy. Hey, what's your name, Bradley?
Yeah.
Bradley, how old are you?
Six.
6 years old. Did you have school today?
Yes.
How did it go?
Good.
You are such a talker. Let me tell you, I've met some kids that can talk, but you take the cake at communication, my friend. For being 6 years old, you rock, man.
Thank you.
What's your favorite subject in school?
I like doing math and stuff.
Nice. I do not like doing math and stuff. That's why I'm talking on a Zoom to your mom right now. All right, buddy. Good to meet you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alicia. All right, let's go over to Tyler in Elkton, Maryland. Tyler, is that right? Elkton, Maryland?
Elkton, Maryland, that's right.
What's Elkton near?
So Elkton is in the northeasternmost part of Maryland, basically halfway between Baltimore and Philly.
I feel like Tyler should do NPR. This week on NPR, why cicadas may be killing you in your sleep. That's right. Tyler, what do you do for a living?
We got the... So I actually work in the medical field. I'm an engineer. The company I work for, we design and manufacture medical devices for open heart surgeries, things like that.
Dang, do you ever get to go on like a field day where you go watch that happen? Like, all right, everybody get together. We're going to go watch old Timmy get open heart surgery.
I actually did. When I first started, I went to a hospital in Virginia, and we got to go up to the big observatory and witness a quadruple bypass with our product.
Jeez. Wow. I was going to say, yeah, we all got to take a scalpel and take a little cut. And Tyler, what's your question?
So I had a question just kind of about country music in general. I'm listened to several different types of genres of music, but country is something I really just absolutely fell in love with over the past like 6 or 7 years. But I noticed like a lot of the people around me, some close friends of mine, a lot of people don't get it or they don't like the genre. And some of the biggest complaints I hear is that it's all just pandering and to stereotypes. Like it's all about just driving your truck down a dirt road and drinking beer, you know. And I was just wondering, for someone who is so closely involved in the industry, and as somebody who I know is a fan of other genres of music, is there something about the country genre that really just kind of sets itself apart from other genres, or how would you kind of pitch it to somebody who is not a fan?
First, I would say that I think your friends are right in a way. I think there's a lot of pandering in country, but there's also a lot of pandering in hip hop. You know, there's a lot of pandering in pop. There is always a small sect, SECT, of pandering kind of at the surface level of any format, because that's the low-hanging fruit, and people are oftentimes chasing the low-hanging fruit because it's the easiest to get and they want to eat now. They're not worried about, you know, long-term success. So what's getting to your friends are those extremely commercial pandering songs. And if you don't listen to country music, that's all you hear. It's hard for me to hate that you feel that way because you just haven't been exposed to good stuff. Luckily for me, I grew up in a place where I was exposed to country music from forever ago. You know, my grandmother had me thinking country music was Andy Griffith Gospel Records, Ray Charles, Modern Sounds of Country Music, Johnny Cash, because he was from Arkansas, Conway Twitty, because he was from Arkansas. Like, I had country music that I grew up, and I was told that was current until I realized it really wasn't current, and there was real country music. But even some of that stuff was crap, right? So just to stick up for your friends a little bit, they're right. But some of my friends listen to hip-hop only hear some of the absolute most pandering hip-hop stuff, too, where hip-hop, like, why are they always calling all women a B-word? And why are they always... That's part of it. It's not the part that I enjoy. Same thing with pop music. So I would say that you have a point. And yes, there's a lot of that in all music. And even all art. You know, it's just people wanting to get paid mostly. And I get it. How would I pitch it? I pitch country music as the ultimate songwriter's genre. Because sonically, it's shifting. It has been and always will. And there will always, from the beginning of country music until the earth explodes, you're going to have most people go, well, that ain't country. People only say that because it's not the same country that they grew up listening to. But I would say country music and singer-songwriter music, kind of folk, that's pure songwriter. It's about words. It's about message. It's about authenticity. And if you can get past whatever bias you have about the people that listen or sing country music, I think it is actually the format with the most depth. So, you know, it's going to be hard to convince somebody just because they see people in cowboy hats and they see, you know, people on tractors. And that's a part of it. And heck, I like some of it. But, you know, you really have to get them with some fringe type stuff and then bring them in. If they're rock people, you got to get them on some Brothers Osborne. You got to slip in some Brothers Osborne in the middle of some whatever other classic rock or whatever they're listening to and not tell them it's country music. And they go, dang, let's go. What is that? It's country music, idiot. You know, you don't do that because then they'll really hate it. But I think it's Kacey Musgraves, you know, some of her newer stuff. I think it's kind of saying, hey, follow me, kid, get in the van. You know, it's kind of doing that with country music, with stuff that just isn't mandolin and banjos and bring them over to that. Because I love mandolin and banjo, but if I'd never been exposed to it, I would just think a hee-haw and think that's what it's all about. But that's a great question. I appreciate you asking that. And don't get me started on people that go, well, that ain't country. Because there's a whole, I have this whole TikTok that I've gathered all the information for. I just haven't done it yet. Did you know at one point in the last 50, 60 years, the drums were, it's like, if you play the drums, that ain't country. They weren't even allowed at the Grand Ole Opry. The drums. And there was a whole group of people that are like, the drums aren't country. That ain't country. Using drums, that ain't country. And it has slowly transitioned. The first time they plugged in a steel guitar, they were like, no, no, no. That there's, you can't plug in a steel guitar. That ain't country. Waylon Jennings, well, how he dresses, you know, what his message is, that ain't country. And you can go, I've talked to Garth. Garth said people told him that he sucked and he wasn't country. Sam Hunt, he says that. And just because it's a little different doesn't mean it's not country. And in 5 years, we'll look back and be like, yeah, Sam Hunt's country. I don't know what this guy here is on the hoverboard that also yodels in this song. That ain't country. But then it will be. So you get it. Okay, give me another question, Tyler.
Yeah, just to kind of add on to that, that's what really drew me to the genre in the first place, how it's constantly evolving. And something like the 70s might not sound, you know, it might sound completely different from something today. But it's all revolving around lyrical storytelling and but anyway, yeah, my second question, I'll make it a quick one. It's about the books that you've written. I actually have your first book that you wrote. I really enjoyed it. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to get the second one, failing to you don't. And I know that you've written the children's book about Stanley. My question was, do you think that writing is something that you plan on continuing? And then also maybe what initially inspired you to begin writing?
Well, first of all, thank you for reading that book. I'm going to send you a copy. I'm going to sign the second one and send one over to you after this. So I'll have Mike D get your address.
And fail until you don't?
Yeah, I'll send you.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah. That's awesome.
I'll sign it up and send it to you. So am I going to write more? Like, I don't think I'm very good at writing. I think I'm fine. I think I can, like, I don't think people like my writing. I think people hopefully like my message and like where I come from. I'm not going to win any writing awards. I don't know. I mean, I didn't want to write the second book. I wrote the first one. Couldn't believe it was such a success. And they said, hey, we're going to pay to write another one. And I knew why, not because they cared what I wrote, but just because people bought it. And I was like, I don't want to write one just to write a second book. And so I didn't for years. And they were like, come on, let's give you some money. And I was like, man, I don't want the money because I would rather, you know, not get paid a little now. And I didn't want to put out crap and have to be ashamed of it and be like, dang, I already spent the money. That would have been in my mind. Like, the book wasn't good and I already spent the money. And now this book is still out there. I don't want to be embarrassed about it forever. So I didn't write it. I didn't write a second book forever. And then I did a TED talk. They said, hey, will you come and speak? What would you speak on? And I said, well, I would do a talk on winning by losing. And they were like, what do you mean? Well, I was like, well, all the losses, all the setbacks you have actually teaches you. And if you're able to hang in there through the losses and through the setbacks, like, that's where you're gaining your information and gaining your strength. People don't realize that, though. Like, they're actually winning by losing. And they were like, well, that's interesting. Why don't you give that talk? And so I don't know if I've revealed this before, but wrote it. And I had Mike D draw the images for that TED talk. And if you go watch the YouTube video, you see me flicking through the pictures. And I'm like, hey, here's this picture. And one of the words, you remember the word?
Oh, it's success.
Whatever the word was, Mike misspelled a word. And yeah, we didn't even notice it till like 6 months later. And I think people just thought that I was messing up the word on purpose, because that's kind of my brand, to just be unapologetically dumb in a smart way. I just made up real quick. People go, yeah, yeah, yeah. But there was a big misspelling on the slide that's 10 feet tall over my head. And I messaged Mike the YouTube video and I went, hey, I think you misspelled that, and I missed you misspelling that. And it's up there, and it's a big misspelled word, and nobody ever really caught us.
Yeah.
They didn't even, when they saw the slides, they didn't even check off on it.
No one ever said anything.
Mm-mm. So, I don't know. I think the Stanley book's going to be good. We just okayed the cover yesterday. The process with that is, it's so much drawing, and I don't draw. The same reason Mike drew the pictures for my TED Talk. I don't draw at all. I'm terrible at drawing. And so I wrote the story, kind of gave guidance to what I wanted the pictures to look like, but my illustrator is so good, but it takes a long time to get those pictures right. And so that's why it's not going to be till next year, till the book comes out. I told Caitlin too, I was like, hey, it's a kid's book. We should probably hurry up and have a kid.
Oh.
Like at the same time. Have a kid and a book at the same time. Like, what a release that would be. Like a kind of a double feature.
How'd you feel about that?
She didn't much care for that plan. She thought, you know, we should have a kid whenever we're ready to have a kid, and not base it around a kid's book coming out.
Base the release date, not the way.
Yeah,
to do
I was
it.
Like, well, if we have a release date, we can go back. You know, we can even be a month early.
Okay.
You can hold it in. There you go. Know? But who knows? If I have something to say, I'll write. If I have something I want to say forever, I'll write. If I have something I want to say, I'll just get on here and say it. But I appreciate that, and at the end of this, be sure to email with Mike. You have his email?
I got his email.
I will send you a book, Tyler. I appreciate that question. All right. Last but not least, it looks like to me, Tara or Teresa?
So it's Tara on Facebook, but it's Teresa. I put Tara on Facebook because I'm a middle school teacher and they try to find my social media constantly. So I use my like childhood nickname on my Facebook for friends and family. And then Teresa is my official name.
Well, let me officially say, Teresa, to your official name, thank you for being here. And you are in your classroom right now. Is school over?
Yes, it ended at 4:15. So I didn't have time to go home. So I'm just zooming from my classroom.
And so how was school today?
It was good. This year's kind of, you know, crazy because I'm still teaching partially virtual, partially blended, and partially in person. So it's been crazy, and it's the end of the year. So, but it was good. It's as good as the last 2 weeks of school can be.
And how long have you been teaching school?
This is my eighth year.
Wow. Was the last year just a crazy challenge for you? Was it so hard, or did you kind of get into it and understand the virtual part of it quicker than you thought?
I think both. It was, you know, suddenly thrown at us, and the kids were learning with us, so we made a lot of mistakes. But the kids were, it gave us the ability to understand that the kids needed grace because we also needed grace. So I think it was a good kind of mindset for us, reality check.
Are you guys having to like double teach now though, because maybe they missed some stuff last year, or are you still on the same sort of stuff you'd be doing, period?
We're still on the same stuff that we would have been doing, period, but I think next year is gonna really be the year that we're gonna have to fill in a lot of gaps.
All right. Well, I commend you for your work. Dang, I could never be a teacher. Okay, Teresa, what would you like to ask?
Okay, so my first question was obviously for, I was thinking about my students. What could I ask my students that would benefit them? And I was like, what advice would you give to eighth graders? You know, especially my school's a fairly low income school. It's a Title I. So I'm thinking like, what can you do? But then I'm like, I've been listening to you since I was in middle school. So I'm like, he's going to say, show up on time. Say what you know. Just grind until you're successful, like all the things. And I was like, well, I could tell him that. So my question is more from a teacher perspective. Like, did you have a teacher who was really influential to you? And like, what made them so memorable to you so that I could, you know, have pointers for my kids? As someone who came from, you know, like a lower school to someone of great success, what was that teacher like for you?
Well, let me answer your first question that you didn't ask a little as well. In eighth grade, and you can't tell them this probably, but I would tell them to, deodorant is so important. Like, it's way more important than you're giving it credit for. Because in sixth, seventh, eighth grade, you don't really value it because the smell with some kids hasn't come on at all. Some people, kids don't even know. You know this, Teresa. I mean, and me, I grew up, I was kind of a dirty kid just because we couldn't always clean our clothes. So I would just, if you wear deodorant, and I would also tell them, if they need help, ask for it because people will help you. Like, sometimes you get embarrassed to ask for help, but if you literally need help, people will help you because if they know what your goal is, they can help you do that. If they don't know, they can't help you do that. So if you're struggling or if you want to do more, I would just say ask. I say that to adults too. Like, you want help in something, ask for it. I love to help people. And sometimes I don't know who wants help. And I'm over here like, dang, I would have loved to have helped you. I could have. But same with me. As I've gotten older, I realize that if I have a goal or I want something, I let people know my goal. And maybe they do nothing. Maybe they care none. I'm at the same place that they care none. But if they happen to care a little bit, that's amazing. That's a bonus. That's a free step that I get to have. So that's what I would say to answer the first one. But you're right. I would have said all that other flabber jabber first. What was the second part of the question? What's the second part of your question?
What teacher? What was the teacher that was influential?
Okay. I'm glad you asked. I had a teacher, I won't say her name, and they're influential in two different ways, but she told me that I will never be on the radio because I have an accent and I talk too fast. I don't have a good radio voice. And I remember being in like 10th grade going, what are you talking about? Even if that's true, why are you telling me this? You're trying to shut down my dreams. We did a play and I was the voice of some cat. And she was like, and you want to be on the radio? You're not a good speaker. And I was like, okay, even if you think that's true, I remember thinking this, why would you tell me that right now? I'm in my impressionable years. And so I don't think that she was saying that to keep me out of chasing my dream, but I don't think she should have said it because I was a 10th grader trying to find my place. So that really hit me in a weird, bad way. And I still remember that. And that you should never tell people what they can't do. Help them do what they want to do, what they can do. And as far as a teacher that taught me the most, I mean, my head football coach was Coach Vic Gandalf. And it wasn't so much classroom, but it was, you know, him always being able, if needed, to, after school, after football practice, to be able to be, hey, can I ask a couple questions? Can I, you know, will you spend a little extra time with me for practice? Or heck, even at times history, he taught history. I was like, hey, I'm struggling a little bit here because I wasn't paying attention. What is this? It was just availability was such a thing, but also not just he was available, that he let it be known he was available. And for someone that didn't have any consistency in his life, that was me growing up, no consistency whatsoever, if it was food or clothes or money or sometimes living situations, for there to be a consistent influence, and at times you'd be annoyed, like, I get it, you're available, like, leave me alone. That to me was massive. It wasn't somebody going, go reach your dreams, kid. That didn't happen where I was from, but it was him going, hey, if you need me, I'm here. And also, you're doing great, but also at times you're doing terrible. So I trusted the fact that he could tell me when I wasn't doing well. That meant I trusted him when he told me I was doing well. So I would say that, being, especially with a school like you teach, like you're at, those kids don't have a lot of consistency. And having someone that can be there for them consistently, even if it's just a, you know, a teacher at school going, hey, if you guys need me, like, and you're struggling, you're hurting, I'm here. You don't have to come. You don't have to talk to me, but I'm just here. So I would say that.
I think that's been one of the hardest parts about being virtual is I can't be there for my students like I normally am. So that is one of the hardest parts.
Well, you just teaching is, I mean, and caring, I would think there, and I know this because I know some teachers, that after 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, you start to get a bit jaded by the whole thing and not care as much, so that you even asked that question shows you still care. So I just, I think that's fantastic. So thank you for asking that question.
Thank you. So my next question is more because, if I were to compare you and Caitlin to a TV show couple, just from what I've heard, in my mind, I picture Leonard and Benny from The Big Bang Theory. If you were to compare yourselves as a couple to a TV show couple, what would you choose for yourself?
Well, that's funny, but I don't like that one.
Why not?
Because I don't want to be Leonard. That's funny, though. I'll tell her that. She'll think that's funny.
A cool version of Leonard.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Chandler and Monica, maybe, in a way, you know, but...
I like that. Mm-hmm.
But Monica's pretty funny, but Caitlin is so much funnier than I am. She's, for everything that I have been celebrated or rewarded for, she's better at it, which just sucks sometimes. Because I'm like, oh, Deb's doing this. It was really funny. She's like, oh, what if you'd have done this? It'd have been funnier. And I'm like, God, you're right. But she just doesn't have the need to let the world see it all the time. She's not, you know, screaming to get it. And we talk about this, and I mentioned this on the show before, that she grew up in a very loving home. So she doesn't need to go out and chase love in other places. Her parents love her. They're still together. She's very close with them, her brother, her sister. Like, they are, it is just quite the nucleus there. It's so foreign for me to go and see and do. It wasn't the situation. I didn't have a lot of love at home. I didn't have a lot of people that were there for me that told me they loved me. So at a young age, I started chasing love through performance. And then if I was funny enough, people would go, yay, we clap. And I would be like, oh, they like me. And then they clap a lot. Oh, they love me. So then I would get on the radio and I'd go tell jokes and I would do this and that. And so I chase love that way. But she's so funny. She doesn't care about getting love from it. That she's just naturally that. Where I obviously do. I'm getting better at it. That has always been what I thrived, was finding love in other places. I'm getting a little better at finding love, at home now. I even told her that. I was like, hey, I still care. I want to be extremely successful. I don't care to be famous anymore. I think there was a time when it was like, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm just going to be famous. I like to be successful because I like to prove it can be done. Like, I like a wall. I like for someone to tell me there's no way for you to get to the other side of that wall. And I'm like, all right, well, let's see if I can climb it. Nope. All right, let's see if I can walk through it. Nope. Okay, let's see if I can burn it down. Like, I like trying to figure out how to accomplish things. So it's probably Penny, and that's what sucks. Yeah. Like, the more I think about it, the more you're right on. It sucks. But that's actually a funny question. All right. Well, my screen was telling me we were about over, but we've done almost 45 minutes here, huh, Mike?
Yeah.
Let me say this. You guys have been great. Thank you so much for spending a few minutes with me, because, you know, we're all on a Zoom. We've probably all been on Zooms too much the past year, and the fact that you guys would hop on and ask a couple questions, I greatly appreciate that. So thank you guys, Alicia, Teresa, Tyler, Emily, Emma Lutz? Yeah, Emma Lutz. I appreciate that. So thank you guys. Hope you guys have an awesome day, and... maybe you'll get famous. Maybe this will go viral.
Maybe, yeah.
They'll get famous. Yeah. All right. Bye, guys. Have a great day.
Every time I go on a trip, if I'm traveling for work, if I'm traveling for vacation, if it's like an extended away, I find myself packing an extra bag with essentials. You know, do I have like 4 tubes of toothpaste just in case, or supplies? You know what I mean, right? That's all in the past because people can sign up for Target Circle 360, which gives everyone unlimited same-day delivery wherever they go, which for me, when I'm talking about packing... it allows me, it could be for a vacation for you, it could be me working, it allows me not to pack as much because it'll all be waiting for me at my destination. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them every day can make all the difference in the world. That's why everybody should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's better, H-E-L-P.com.
Kind is calling all flavor chasers. Hey, it's Amy, and Kind has 6 new flavors for whatever you crave. Is it something sweet? Well, try new seeds, fruit, and nuts bars. With flavors like dark chocolate raspberry pumpkin seed, the number one ingredient is seeds. And for something savory, Kind has you covered. Try their roasted nuts and jalapeno bars or rosemary nuts and sea salt bars. They're gluten-free with 5 to 6 grams of protein in every one. The number one ingredient is always seeds or nuts. It's the bar for people who love real food. Try all the new flavors. Shop on Amazon today.